Greetings from San Diego, where yours truly is with the ASU women's basketball team in preparation for the season's first road game at the University of San Diego tonight. And welcome to this week's edition of That's So Money. Well, yeah, I get a mixed reaction to the title of this podcast. My 17-year-old son, who obviously is very up to speed on all things that are hip and happening in the world, isn't that crazy about the title, but I think he'll get used to it as we go along. I want to talk specifically about basketball this week, but I just have to get this note in about football. The ASU win at Utah was a game that 2 years ago they probably don't win, and it speaks to the development of this program under Todd Graham. And when Todd Graham came to this program from Pittsburgh, there was obviously a lot of question marks and apprehension about Todd Graham having been at Pitt for just 1 year. He bounced around from job to job. But one thing is undeniable about Todd Graham, if you get a chance to meet him, the guy is passionate. He is very determined and dedicated. Discipline is a hallmark of his programs. And so far, you cannot argue with the results. And again, that game on Saturday in Salt Lake City was the type of game that previous Arizona State teams, with no disrespect to the previous coaching staffs, they probably don't win. And you think about the way they won that game, coming from back 13 points late in the game to score a couple touchdowns, that last drive that resulted in a touchdown with the long run by Marion Grice. You add all those things together, and this has got the makings of what could be a really fun November and, yes, December for Arizona State football. But I did want to talk basketball today and share some thoughts with you about things that I've watched from a distance and things that I've watched up close. And I'll start first with the Suns, because that's something that's been very much a topic of discussion for a lot of people around the Valley. They're off to a terrific start. And it's a great story because of the fact that there have been so many things that have gone so well for the Suns since the end of last season. The hiring of Ryan McDonough as general manager, the hiring of Jeff Hornacek as head coach. And it has really been fun to watch McDonough overhaul this roster and put some things in place. And clearly, during the summer, a lot of people felt that what was going on with the Suns had something to do with positioning themselves for a very deep draft. And they did go out and stockpile a lot of first-round draft picks. But this whole question of tanking games, it's almost amusing in some respects. And the question that comes up now, that are they winning too many games for the Suns management to be comfortable? And let's stop right there and just think about this for a second. I can tell you from my own experiences, there's never been an instance where a team in professional sports has been told to tank a game or lose a game deliberately. Now, do some teams, there are a number of teams in the NBA that have overhauled their rosters and are going with younger players, knowing that the possibility is that they will finish with a poor record and be in a higher spot in the draft for a very deep draft coming up this coming June. Okay, that's fair enough. That's not tanking games. That's making a strategic decision to put yourself in a position to improve your roster through next June's draft. Utah is said to be doing that. Boston is doing that. The Suns were doing that. But it's really fun to watch the way the Suns are playing basketball. And a lot of the players that are making big contributions for this team are players who were brought in by Ryan McDonough, Eric Bledsoe, Miles Plumlee. Archie Goodwin's had some good moments off the bench. They haven't got much production from Alex Len yet, but they will. And it really has been a great story so far. The question becomes, there are two questions. One, can they keep this up? And I really can't give you an answer to that question. It would not surprise me to see them exceed the win totals that were predicted for them before the season began. But to even at this early stage, you just can't predict how far out this club's going to go in terms of what they're able to accomplish. The other question, are they winning too many games for the comfort level of the front office? That's a ridiculous question. for a couple of reasons, and I'll explain. Number one, Robert Sarver, Lon Babby, Ryan McDonough want to win. And if they're winning now, they're not going to complain about that. Look at the way this market is responding. The city is responding to the Sun start. People are genuinely happy. They were happy during the summer when they saw that Ryan McDonough had a plan, that he was moving forward. Not one of the moves he made was met with disdain or frustration or anger. People understood what was going on, and they're just thrilled with what is taking place so far on the court. Secondly, even if the Suns, let's just be hypothetical for a moment, and the Suns were a team that ended up close to 500 at the end of the season, and they weren't in a prime position in terms of the draft, they still own multiple first-round picks in next June's draft. And you could take those picks, package them, and perhaps trade up in the draft or trade for an established veteran star who would improve your roster immediately. So it wasn't just one way to rebuild this roster. Yeah, the likelihood was that they were going to have their struggles this year, and they may still, and end up with a very high draft pick. And again, the draft is, you saw it with the number of players who were on the floor last night in that college doubleheader in Chicago. People are salivating over this June draft coming up. But if the Suns end up with their own pick being somewhere 9th or 10th, they could still take those picks, package them, and either move up or get a veteran player. So there's still a lot of options out there, even if the Suns don't end up 1, 2, 3 in the first round of this upcoming draft. So I hope this kind of calms down. It's not going to totally put away all these silly comments about the Suns should be tanking games. The Suns are shooting themselves in the foot by winning games and not improving their draft position. It's nothing but good right now, and it's been fun to see, and I'm so happy for the people at the Suns because they went through some really rough times, and they're getting an earlier payback on the hard work they've put in than they might have expected, but it's still fun to see, and their fans are enjoying it, and isn't that kind of what it's all about in the first place? Now, Friday night, I had a chance to see ASU's men's basketball opener against Maryland Baltimore County, and since then, they also had a win against Miami of Ohio. I'm really intrigued with this ASU men's basketball team. Jermaine Marshall not only brings great skills and ability, but he also brings a fresh dose of enthusiasm. Not that this roster really needed that, but boy, it's a really exciting team. And Marshall, who transferred to this program from Penn State, brings an outside shooting component that just opens up the floor in the half court for everybody else, specifically Jordan Baczynski, who isn't going to get a lot of help in terms of size and rebounding down low, and he needs some help kind of getting double teams away from him. And Jonathan Gilling, who is a tremendous three-point shooter and will just make the offense more and more effective as Marshall develops his outside game, Gilling will become a much more of a threat as well. I was a little surprised when the Pac-12 coaches, how many times have I done that? When the Pac-12 coaches picked ASU to finish very low, I believe they picked them to finish 7th in the conference, maybe even lower than that. I don't remember the exact spot they had them picked. But I'll tell you that, to me, after Arizona, the conference really becomes kind of wide open. And Arizona State, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think they're going to finish 2nd. But I certainly think that they can finish in the upper half of the conference and maybe even in a top 4 spot, which would get them a first-round bye in the Pac-12 tournament. And I do think that should they stay healthy, and that's going to be a really big if with Arizona State this year, they have to stay healthy because you wonder a little bit about the players playing behind the established starters on this team, if they're ready to make significant contributions if they're called upon. But if ASU stays healthy, yes, I do think that they're capable of appearing in the NCAA tournament and maybe making a little progress in the month of March, which would be tremendous for this program. And Herb Sendek, give him credit. The knock on Sendek a couple years ago was he was unwilling to scrap the deliberate half-court offense and the matchup zone defense, and he's adjusted away from both of those things. This is a wide-open, run-the-floor team that plays more man than it does zone. It's an entertaining brand of basketball. And, yeah, I do think that ASU will be able to add to their attendance figures. They announced 5,000 for the opener on Friday night. I didn't see what the attendance was for Miami of Ohio. But I think once we get into conference play, I think five-figure crowds could really become a habit at Wells Fargo Arena, because this is a very fun team to watch. We haven't even talked about Jahi Carson, but certainly he's worth the price of a ticket all by himself. It could be a really, really fun year in Tempe. And the same could be said, if I could just get a personal plug in here, for the ASU women's basketball team. They're off to a very good start, had a 40-point win over Hawaii in their opener on Saturday. As I said, we're here in San Diego to play the USD Toreros tonight. I'm looking outside my hotel room here at the Hilton Mission Valley in San Diego. It's going to get up to 81 here today. The weather, I know, has been very warm at home, and it's equally as warm here in San Diego. It really has the makings of a fun turnaround season for a team that struggled to win 13 games last year, which is a complete departure for what Charlie Turner Thorne has been used to doing here at Arizona State. And they could easily find themselves back in postseason play again this year. It'll be a fun year for basketball in Tempe, almost as much fun as it's been for football. And as I said at the outset, I think ASU football's got some great things coming here in the month of November and December. And, yeah, I do think that they're very much a strong candidate to play in the Pac-12 championship come December against either Oregon or Stanford. I guess now it would likely be Stanford. And you know what? They probably would love to have a rematch with Stanford, because they're a lot better football team. And they didn't play all that bad from the second half on in Palo Alto. So I think they'd be very anxious to go back up there and have a rematch with Stanford. Those are some of the things that have been on my mind. I will tell you that I saw a note today on our website at dbacks.com. I say our, because as you know, I work for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The actual website you're on is sportsz360.com. But I did see a note on dbacks.com that the reports on Cody Ross are that he is progressing faster than was originally planned in his recovery from hip surgery. This is part of this equation, and we always say this every year. Boy, the offseason is really going to be interesting. This one has got a chance to be more interesting than others, because it seems like whatever moves Kevin Towers makes, they're going to have a domino effect on the rest of the eight starting position players. Same thing with whatever moves they make in terms of pitching. But if Cody Ross is healthy and ready to go at the start of the season, that would clear up one issue in terms of what they do to go out and find a power bat to go along with Paul Goldschmidt. It might also help them in terms of putting together a deal to acquire a top-line, top-of-the-rotation starter. Because Towers admitted in a story in dbacks.com, written by a really great writer, Barry Bloom, that they will probably have to package prospects to get the kind of starter they want. Now, if they're able to do that and get a top-line starter with Ross coming back healthy, they're probably going to have to package some people to get the big bat they want. If they're able to do those things, then a lot of this domino effect may indeed fact just kind of solve itself. It's fascinating to watch how this process is all put together. Some teams go into the offseason and they say, well, we just need to make this one move. I was reading this morning the San Diego Padres on their website, and their general manager and former D-back GM Josh Burns has said, we don't really have a lot of things we need to go out and accomplish this winter, which is strange to say for a club that finished near the bottom in the National League West. But he said, you look around, he said, we're pretty much set at all the most of the positions. We have a few questions on the back end of the rotation. And so it's really going to, the D-backs are in a much different position in the sense that they have a number of question marks that they want to address. And whatever move they make first will probably cause a domino effect with the other moves they make or moves they don't. Should be a really fascinating next couple of months as we turn our attention towards spring training at Salt River Fields at Talking Stick. Well, as I look out my window here at my hotel room, and we've just about used up all our time for this week, I mentioned this last week, and I'll mention this again. I try very hard not to script out how these podcasts are going to go. And I always worry right before the start, am I going to be able to fill all the time just talking about things off the top of my head? And I look down at my timer, and sure enough, we did it again this week. Because of that, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, next week we're going to talk about fill in the blank. Because you never know. Things go on in sports. Interesting things happen. So I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, check back next week, and here's what we're going to discuss. Because we just don't know what's going to happen over the next 7 days, do we? But I can tell you this, next week's podcast will be from home. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next week.